Let us pray. Eternal Father, we do thank thee this morning for the mercy, the grace that in Christ Jesus thou hast lavished upon us, that thou hast brought us together to give thy name the praise and to worship thee. Holy Father, may thou now consecrate this hour, this moment that thy word is about to be declared. Bless both the presentation of thy word as well as the reception. And I'll commit this time into thy hands. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. To say life is tough is not an exaggeration. From cradle to grave, life is an oasis of struggles and challenges. No one is exempted. Whether you are born with a silver spoon or no spoon at all, the struggles and challenges of life will knock at your door, and life will remind you who is the boss. You know, one minute everything could be well and wonderful, bills paid, health in good shape, marriage, children, everything doing great. And the next minute, the trajectory of your life can change. Everything can turn upside down. Like it happened to the Maia family. You know, on December 29, 2018, they were a happy family. Husband, wife, and three kids. But the next day, they were traveling and they stopped at a stop sign, and the drunk driver rear-ended their vehicle, killing all three kids and seriously injuring both wife and husband. Their life changed in a matter of minutes. And loved ones, that's the way life happens sometimes to some of us. Now for Christian, while these challenging times will ultimately happen in our lives, it is always good for us, I believe, to be steadfast in faith. But I also believe during this season that we as believers must learn how to develop one trait, shall I call it. We must learn to develop how to encourage ourselves. You know, it is always good for someone to call you up or meet up with you and encourage you. It is always good for someone to tell you that, listen, it's going to be fine. But if those encouragement does not come from external sources, you have to learn as a Christian how to encourage yourself. That in the midst of your dark valley, you can begin to speak life to yourself and begin to encourage your soul so that you don't fall into a state of despondency, but you live a life in the midst of those storms that will reflect the glory of God, that men and women will see you, will understand that while you bend, you have not broken, because God is truly the one keeping you. And you know what? There is no other place for us this morning to really understand the importance of encouraging ourselves than in a narrative nestled in the book of 1 Samuel. The story of David. And I believe from the experience of David this morning, we can all glean and learn how to encourage ourselves. And this is what's going to bring me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, by way of context, at the age of around 16 years, David was in the field tending the flock of his father Jesse when he was summoned by his father to come home. Arriving at home, David stood face to face with one of the most powerful men of that era. His name was Samuel, the high priest. And Samuel says something that must have shocked David. Samuel announced to David that God has selected him to be king over Israel. And he anointed David as king. But there was one problem. You know, at that point in history, the throne was not empty. There was still a king sitting on that throne, and that king was Saul, the son of Kish. Now, though God had disqualified him spiritually, Yet physically, he was still sitting on the throne. As such, David could not occupy that throne until physically Saul was no longer there. Now, over time, we see here that through the favor shown to David by God, Saul was able to discern that David was destined for greatness. And that greatness got to be the throne of Israel. And Saul became envious of David. And Saul began preemptively to seek way to kill David. Now, David was not naive to all the plan of Saul. And David himself, when he saw that Saul was after his life, David took his family and a few of men that were working with him, and David fled and moved from cave to cave until finally he decided to go to Achish, the king of Gath, in the land of the Philistines. And Achish, again, God's favor, gave David a place to camp, and the place was called Ziklag. So Ziklag then became David's camp. Now let's fast forward here. When we now come to 1 Samuel chapter 28, we're told that there was a war between Israel and the Philistines. We know that oftentimes those two nations tend to get into battle with one another. Now, since David was now living in the land of the Philistines, Achish, the king of Gath, approached David and asked David, come, align with us that we can go and fight against Israel. And David agreed. Now, this should kind of raise a red flag. Why would you raise a red flag? Because, you know, when you begin to look at the story of David here in the book of 1 Samuel, on a couple of occasions, David had an opportunity to actually eliminate Saul. But David refused to strike the Lord's anointed because he knew that if he struck the Lord's anointed, it would not be guiltless. So if David could spare Saul, who was the Lord's anointed, I doubted that David will actually fight against God's anointed people, Israel. I doubted whether David will actually fight against Israel. And I suspect here that there was an ulterior motive here, and David wanted to go to this battle so that David ultimately can defend his people, Israel. And this was the motive that I believe was behind David's agreement to go to this battle. But I want you to understand something. On the way to the battle, when we come to chapter 29, the lords of the Philistines also thought about the possibility of David coming against them. Because we're told that the lords of the Philistines were going in front and David was coming in the rear. And then the lords of the Philistines talked to Achish, who was the king of Gath. Gath was, the Philistines was different regions and different territories. So their lords came together to go to battle with Israel. And the other lords of the Philistines said to Achish, you know, make the man go back, that he may return to the place where you've assigned to him. And do not let him go down to the battle with us, or in the battle, he may become an adversary to us. With what would this man make himself pleasing to his Lord? So now the lords of the Philistines, they understood that David's presence in that battlefield was a danger to them, because they understood what David did through a man called Goliath, who was from Gath. How David actually beheaded and defeated Goliath. And this man did not actually put no trust in David. And they asked David to turn back. And while David himself was kind of dejected about that, because I believe David had an ulterior motive here, but David finally agreed and he turned back to return to Ziklag, to his people and to his camp. By the way, loved ones, I want you to pay attention to this. You know, don't become embittered when God closes what you perceive to be a promising door in your life. He might just be trying to redirect your life into a place of greater importance, of greater blessing. Again, I want you to watch what I just said to you this morning. Because David here wanted to go to this battle. And I believe David had an ulterior motive in going to this battle. But David did not understand a few things. Number one, David did not understand that at that battle with the Israel and the Philistines, God had destined Saul to be killed in the battle. Not only that, David did not know that Ziklag, the camp that they left behind, was being attacked. So I want you to pay attention to those two scenarios. David did not know that, but God, infinite in wisdom, God who is omnipresent, God who is omniscient, God who knows everything, knew that, listen, David, this is not the battle for you to fight. And number two, David, you got to go back to your camp because there is a problem there. That is why I'm saying to you, loved ones, at times, pay attention to me this morning. At times, you know, God will shut a door. When God closes that door, you must understand that you don't force your way through that door. You have to understand to surrender to whatever God chooses to do. Why? Because God knows and sees what you don't see. As such, as believers in Jesus Christ, we must learn to trust in the wisdom of God as we go through challenges in life, because at times God can close a door that you believe this is just a promising door. But when God does close that door, receive what God has done and accept it with grace and keep going forward. And I truly believe that ultimately, if God so will, you will be able to understand why that door was closed. And this would be what David will come to understand. Because we read here that after David was told to return, this is where we come to chapter 30 of the book of 1 Samuel. David now turned back with his men and he returned to Ziklag. Now here it is. When we read in verse 1, when he arrived at a camp, he must have been shocked at the sight that greeted him. He wasn't greeted with the voices of children playing. He wasn't greeted with the voices of wives rejoicing at the return of their husband. He was greeted with fire, with destruction. Why? We read here that when David returned to Ziklag, the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, and they had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, we know who the Amalekites are, right? The Amalekites are those group of people who love to prey on the weaknesses of others. They were the people that attacked Israel when they were coming down from Egypt and going to the Promised Land. And that is what they are notorious for. They love to attack and do this raid. And they had come to this camp, and they had attacked this camp. And I want you to know, all the men, presumably, had gone to battle with David. So they were left with the old, perhaps, left with the women and the little children. And the Amalekites now gathered everybody, burned the camp, and took everybody slave. And this was what David and his men faced when they returned back to Ziklag. So you can see from that what God was trying to do that David did not understand. Because God was trying to point David to come back to Ziklag because there was a problem. But I want you to see this. Here with this man coming to the camp, decimated. And then we're told that when they saw that everything was decimated, this man, their emotions took over. And I'm a father too. I understand the emotion of a parent. I understand the emotion of a husband. And I can see this man, we're told, that they began to lift up their voices and they wept. They wept until there was no strength in them. They kept weeping. Chapter 30, verse 4. And you know what? By the way, those of you that say men do not weep, you need to be very careful about that, because these were strong, valiant men and great men of power and of strength. But when you lose, or when you face crisis, when you face crisis that shakes you to your core, tears will run down your cheek. And this is what I tell brothers, you know, don't hold back. At times, if you got to cry, you got to cry, you got to let it out. There are emotions that I believe that we got to be able to exercise sometime to let the pressure out. And here this man weeping and crying because, guess what, the kids, their wife has been taken, and now they don't know where to find them. And we're told that David himself was not spared, because David, his wife, two wives, and his own children were also kidnapped. You know, and after weeping, we're told here all day, the weeping of this man turned to anger, and their anger was directed at David. And they even conceived the idea of stoning David, which because they believe that it was because of the agreement David had with Achish, the king of Gath, that they had to go to battle and leave their family behind. And they wanted to stone David. You know, at this point, the leadership of David was called to question. And I truly believe for those of us in leadership, if there is one lesson we need to learn in these days, you know, when things go well, people will give you all your accolades. They will praise you and tell you great things. But when things go south, the same mouth that praised you and told you how great a leader you are will tear you down. The great persons that tell you how great my pastor is, they will tear you down. That's why you got to know as leaders that, listen, you got to be ready for everything that might come in leadership. And for here, David, as the leader of this group of men, was now facing more of a rebellion. As the people are looking at David, said, David, it's all your fault. And I can tell you, being a pastor for over two decades plus, I know what it means when a leader is faced with crisis and the people look up to you, or the people triangulate you in that conflict. And you as a leader must have to stand. And I've learned throughout my years as a pastor that my primary objective in leadership is to seek to please God and not man. Because when things go south, which it will, the faithfulness of God will hold you through it all. By the way, I want you to pay attention to the pattern here, loved ones. You know, the pattern here is very obvious. And I believe this pattern can be found in every unexpected tragedy that happens in life. First of all, there is the shock. Second, there is sorrow. And third, there is anger. When this man first arrived at the camp, the sight of what he saw must have created a shock. This then was followed by the weeping, the sorrow. Then came the anger. You know, and in this case, the anger was directed at David. But in some cases, the anger of people are always directed at God. Like the wife of Job, who said to Job after the tragedy of Job losing everything, he said, why do you hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Because from our perspective, anger, the grief. And she said, curse God, Job, and die. And loved ones, you know what? That is why I always encourage you, and I encourage everyone, that when you ever encounter anybody that's going through grief, be careful how you become judgmental in terms of trying to judge what to say. Because out of the depth of their sorrow and their anger, at times they will say some things that might sound to you like blasphemy. They will say some things because out of that grief, they will say things. You got to learn just to weep with those who weep. You got to learn to mourn with those who mourn. Don't try to explain what's going on, because at that moment they can receive it. They can receive whatever you tell them, even though they might understand that cognitively. They can get it down in their soul. They can understand, because the grief creates the state of anger. And usually the anger is always in form of a question directed to God. God, why me? Why me? Why my only daughter? Why my loving husband? Why my job? Why my business? And loved ones, listen, this pattern is always present in every unexpected events of life. But one thing I always pray for, I always pray that it transition from anger to acceptance. You hear what I said? I always pray internally that they begin to accept what they cannot change. Because that's the process of it. That you become shocked, you go through sorrow, then anger. But I pray for God to give them the grace to accept what they cannot change. And it's that point of acceptance that they begin to see reality as it relates to God's reality. But listen to me this morning. The big question here is this. David faced with his apparent rebellion and people trying to stone him. The question is that, what would David do here? You know, David don't even know the whereabouts of his own family. But I want you to watch what the Bible says. This is quite interesting. The Bible says here that David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. If you like to underline verses, you want to underline that verse. They said, David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. You know, such a challenging time, David could have found a way of escape. David could have been like the captain of the ship that is called Costa Concordia, a vessel that was sinking, a cruise vessel that was sinking a few years ago. And the captain's name was Francisco Chitone, I believe. And when the vessel was sinking, guess what he did? He was the first one out. He escaped the boat. And we're told that 32 people died because he saved himself. He escaped. But David did not take that route. Rather, David stood in as a leader. But here he's standing as a leader in the midst of this great challenge and adversity that was facing him. David began to encourage himself. Loved ones, this is it. This is one thing that I believe as Christians we need to learn to do. So let's break this down. You know, what does it mean here that you encourage yourself? You know, the Hebrew word here, translated encourage or strengthen, means simply to strengthen oneself or to take courage in something or someone. In essence, to encourage oneself is actually to encourage yourself in the person that is the source of your strength. And in this case, that person is God. And there are three things here I want you to understand about encouraging yourself. The first thing I believe David must have done in the midst of this very dark season in his life, he must have first reflected on one thing as a source of encouragement. First of all, was what we call the sovereignty of God. David, in encouraging himself, must have reflected back on the sovereignty of God. He must have reflected in the word of David that said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He must have reflected back that the Lord is my light and my salvation. He must have reflected back in the sovereignty of God that the Lord is my light, the Lord is my refuge and my strength, a very present help. He must have reflected on the sovereignty of God. And loved ones, in the midst of your trial, when you're seeking to encourage yourself, the first place you need to go to in your encouragement is the sovereignty of God. What does it mean? The sovereignty of God is simply the perfection of God, whereby God is perfectly in control of every single event of creation, whether the visible or in the invisible realm. The implication is this, that God is still on his throne. God is still on his throne. In the midst of your adversity, in the midst of your darkest season, as you seek to encourage yourself, begin by encouraging yourself in the nature of God. First nature is the sovereignty of God, that whatever you're going through here does not shock God. God is not naive of this. God already knows, because he's sovereign, and he's sovereign over your situation. And I believe this is a source of encouragement as we as Christians need to develop to understand that in the midst of our life's adversity, God's throne has not been vacated. God has not been dethroned. God has not been impeached. God has not been overthrown. He is still sovereign. He is still the Lord of hosts. Listen, loved ones, you encourage yourself in that nature of God. It renews your soul. It gives you new zeal, new passion to understand that whatever I'm going through, this too shall pass. But not only the sovereignty of God that I believe David reflected on in encouraging himself. David must have also reflected on the faithfulness of God. David must have reflected on the faithfulness of God, as the Apostle Paul will remind us that even when we become faithless, God will always be faithful, because God cannot deny himself. When you're encouraging yourself, look back at the faithfulness of God. What does that mean? Look at the track record of God. You know, God leaves track record behind. I want you to look back over your life. You think things over. You look at the different trials and different challenges that God has brought you through. You look at the different valley you've been through, and his rod and his staff has kept you. You look at the different adversity that you faced, and God preserved you. So you got to understand that the same God who did that yesterday, the same God who kept me yesterday, is also the same God today. And he will see me through this. And I believe that is a source of encouragement. When you begin to encourage yourself not only in the sovereignty of God, encourage yourself in the faithfulness of God, that the God you serve is faithful, that he will not deny his own, that the God you serve is faithful, that he will go before you in battle, that great is his faithfulness, that morning by morning new mercies he allows us to see. All that we needed are his hands of providing. And the God who was faithful yesterday is still faithful today. His faithfulness is immutable, never changes. As such, as believers in Jesus Christ, encourage yourself. Loved ones, this morning, encourage yourself in the faithfulness of God. But I think there's a third thing here. How David encouraged himself. You know, David was a harpist. He played the harp as an instrument. When Saul was sick, David was called to play the harp. And we're told that when David began to play the harp, the evil spirit that possessed Saul left him. There was therapy. There was a form of therapeutic event that took place in the life of Saul when David played the harp. And I believed in encouraging himself here. Not only did David reflect on the sovereignty of God, on the faithfulness of God, David went into the time of just worship and praise. Pastor Wally, what do you mean by that? David went into the state of beginning to sing the songs, the song that he pops sang to Saul, the songs that he pops sang in those days, the song of praise to his God. You know, there is a power in praise, loved ones. There is a power in praise, because when we begin to praise God, it reinforces the nature and the power of God in our lives. In other words, we begin to know that this God is still alive. And the Bible reminds us about the power of praise, that at times some things don't break until we begin to praise and worship God. And I'm reminded of the story of Jehoshaphat when he faced this huge challenge, and the battle and the vision and the words came to him that the battle is not his, the battle belongs to God. And we're told that when Jehoshaphat was going to battle, instead of taking an army with him, Jehoshaphat took with him a worshiper. He took with him a choir, and he began to sing worship songs. He began to worship God. Loved ones, I'm here to tender to you this morning that to encourage yourself in the Lord, you got to learn to store a song in your heart. You got to learn to hide a song in your soul. You got to learn to hide a song that will give you the reassurance of God's presence. Like the songs, like the song that remind us that when peace like a river attended my way, and sorrow like sea billows roll, that whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Well, listen, that's a song of encouragement. That's a song that you sing in the midst of your valley, that you will know that the God you serve is still there. He has never left you. He has never forsaken you. Loved ones, this morning, in the example of David, we learn in life that adversity will happen to the best of us, that each one of us at times will experience life tragedies, but whatever the case may be, encourage yourself in the sovereignty of God. Encourage yourself in the faithfulness of God. But encourage yourself by singing the song of praise to our God. And I believe when David encouraged himself, the Bible told us that he got up and he began to consult, and the Lord said, go after them. And we're told here in the next verses that David began to pursue after the Amalekites. And the Amalekites, for one reason or the other, there was an Egyptian slave that he had left behind, and because he was sick. And when David saw the Egyptian slave, and the Egyptian slave was weary and tired, and David was able to nourish that Egyptian slave, the Egyptian slave now told them where to find the Amalekites. And David went and found them, and he recovered everything back. Loved ones, listen to me. God will give you the grace to recover everything back. But in the midst of that adversity, learn to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do thank thee for the mercy, the grace that in Christ Jesus that was lavished upon us. That on this morning, Holy Father, we could hear the word of God, understand thy will, thy way. And Father, I pray, may thou bless the word that has been declared